You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today we're starting a new series called Reset. And to get us started today, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. This is a story we use often, but I like it. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, probably because I can relate to this guy so well. And as a matter of fact, I think we're probably going to be tracking through this same story multiple times throughout the series. So let's start off reading this today, and I just want to read a portion of it to you. You can read along with me if you want. I believe this is out of the NIV. It, starting in verse 11, it says, Jesus continued. He says, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything he had, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach. Now, this is pretty desperate right here. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He's rejected by pigs. Verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. I quickly want to pray. I know we just prayed. I don't mean to pray all the time, but the Bible does say pray without ceasing. So we'll continue to pray today, and hopefully it'll stick. I want us to pray quickly, and this is the prayer I want you to pray this morning. I want you to ask God for two things today. Ask God for a word that will be bread to you, that will fill you up, that you can use for your own life. And ask God for a word that will be seed that you can sow into someone else's life. In other words, what I tell people all the time, when you read the Bible or whenever you listen to a sermon, don't try and grasp every single concept. Sometimes that's too hard. If you're like me, it's very hard. So instead, try and grasp one thing. What's one thing that I can take out of this message today and put into my life? And what's one thing I can take out of this message today and give to someone else? So let's pray that real quick. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God together with brothers and sisters. God, we thank you that we come together as a family to receive from you, not from me. So God, I ask today that we would get one thing. God, your word, the Bible says that your word is like bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So we ask for one piece of bread today that would fill us up, that would minister to us, that we could use and digest in our life. And God, we ask for one piece of your word that would be seed that we could sow into the life of somebody else, maybe a family member or a coworker. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now this morning, if you did not get your notes or if you did not get a connection card, we've got people that have them ready for you. All you got to do is slip your hand up. Somebody's going to hand them to you because you're going to want to take notes this morning. And we want to welcome any of our first-time guests. If you're a first-time guest with us today, we are so glad that you're here. Guys, can we give our first-time guests a big round of applause and thank them for being here today? Now look, if you're a guest today, there's a couple of things you need to know. We're going to give you a card, and on that card, we would love for you to fill that out. Turn it back in the offering at the end of the message. And the reason we do that is because it's our way of connecting with you. It's our way of just thanking you for being a part of Gateway this morning. And we're not gonna show up at your house. We're not going to bother you. We are going to send you an email. If you have email, if you don't have email and you do have a physical address, we're going to send you a letter. If you don't have email or a physical address, we do have a carrier pigeon. He's not very good, though. So we're gonna just do that, and that'll be it. Also, if you're a first-time guest with us today, I forgot what else I was going to say. Most of the time, preachers just make up stuff, but I couldn't even do it that time. I want you to think back with me for a minute. How many of you can remember 1987? Who can remember 1987? There's some of you, as soon as I said 19, I lost you. And then others, whenever I said 80, I lost you. So 1987 was a great year. It was a great year. In 1987, I had hair. It was blonde, and it was a nice thick head of hair. I had a silver tooth. I look like Jaws from the James Bond movies, not Jaws the shark, right? Some of you are not laughing because you don't know who Jaws is. There used to be this bad guy in James Bond. He had big silver teeth, and that's what I looked like because my teeth were jacked up. But in 1987, I got my first Nintendo Entertainment Center. Did anybody else have a Nintendo Entertainment System, not Center? Anybody have the original Nintendo? And remember the game that came with it? You got the Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers slash Duck Hunt. That's right. And you got the gun, right? And you're shooting the ducks on the screen. There's a lot of you right now. You're looking at me like a dog in a new pan. You're just like, man, I have no clue what you're talking about. There's others, though. You get it, man. You're with me. And so I had Mario Brothers. And I remember getting another game that was one of my favorites was Contra. Anybody remember Contra? Contra was like a shooter, like you're running around shooting people in the jungle, which was awesome. And then the other game that I loved was one of my favorite games was Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl was a football game that did not have all the football teams. It only had teams that had good players. And me being a Saints fan, I was super disappointed because we didn't have any good players and we didn't have a team on Tecmo Bowl. So I had to play with other teams. But here's the other cool thing about the Nintendo Entertainment System is it had two buttons on the front of the machine. One was the power button and the other one was the reset button. And you know what the reset button was used for? The reset button was strategically placed right on the front of the machine so that when your brother, who's 9 years older than you, is beating you in Tecmo Bowl, you can kick the box and reset the whole thing and start all over like it never happened, right? And so, and then run out of the room as fast as you can before he hits you. And so we had this awesome reset button. So anytime you're playing one of your games and things aren't going the way you want them to go, you hit reset. And now everything is new and fresh all over again. I don't know about you, but I know in my life there's been plenty of times I wish I could hit the reset button. When I was 20 years old, I was in the ministry for the first time as a full-time minister at 20 years old. I was a youth pastor, and I had a 1993 Jeep Wrangler. And you know the best part about that Jeep Wrangler? It was paid off. Absolutely debt-free, and I'm making huge money at the time. I mean, like $24,000 a year. I mean, I'm knocking it out, right? And so I'm just rolling in the cash. As some people say, I was flush with cash, right? So $24,000 a year. I got a paid-off Jeep Wrangler. Don't have a house note because I was living at home with my parents. And so I've just got all this money, and you know what I decided to do? I decided as a youth pastor, I needed a vehicle that kids could pile into and we could all go do something together. So I went out and I went in debt. I sold my Jeep Wrangler. I went in debt and bought me an $18,000 SUV. That was used. That's 75% of my income. I just went in debt over so I could have a vehicle to pile a bunch of kids in. And guess what? The kids never rode with me anywhere. I never got a kid to ride with me in that thing. I was always by myself. And so I was driving around in this big vehicle all by myself. And whenever you make stupid decisions, guess what happens? Bad things happen. And so I had this nice SUV with leather seats and two sunroofs and a six-disc CD changer under the seat. And it turned into a big old brick when the engine blew up on it. And I had to get it towed. But because I wasn't smart enough to buy something that was American-made when I was living in a small town, I didn't just have to get it towed anywhere. I had to get it towed from Auburn to Birmingham just to get it fixed. I lost a lot of money that day. A lot of money. I often reflect on my life and think if I could just have a reset button, I would reset all the way back to the year 2000, right? I would reset back to when I had a paid off Jeep Wrangler and I was completely debt free, even though I was only making $24,000 a year. I was debt free. I would reset. And I'm sure you and I can both go swap stories about how often we've made mistakes, made stupid choices, and we wish we could reset. Some of you are saying, I wish I could reset that relationship. right? Right? I wish I could reset that job choice. I wish I could reset that adventure I thought was going to be great, and it wasn't. And so we want to reset things in our life. And when we look at this guy in the Bible, this guy that goes out on this trip, he's going on this life journey here. He's got all this money, and he's got to go do something with it. He is the perfect candidate for somebody that needs a reset. He looks at his life and just realizes, I have just screwed up, and I need help, right? He needs a reset. And here's the thing. In this story, we hear about the Father, we hear about the Son, and one of the things that I think this story is trying to get across to us is there's something in God that wants to reset our lives. He wants to come in and allow us a do-over, a mulligan, give us that opportunity. Now, there's plenty of things in life that we can't go back and get. I can't go get that Jeep back, right? I can't go back and change some of the things that I've done. But there are aspects of my life that can be reset so that my future is different than my past. So I want to show you a couple of things that I think are very interesting about God. And then we're going to dive back into our story and see what we can learn from this young man that made this huge mistake. But I want to give you three things this morning about God that you need to know that are foundational for the rest of this series. Okay? This is a setup message. So this message, although it might could stand alone, it really is just a precursor to all the other messages we preach in this series. So the first thing you need to know about God that will help you make sense later on is that God makes all things new. God makes all things new. Revelation 21, verse 5, says this, "And he who was seated on the throne said," talking about God, "Behold, I am making all things new." Now, here's a couple of interesting things I want you to see in that verse. Number one, if you go back and read that in context, so you read what that means is you read the couple verses before, a couple verses after, or read the whole chapter, you're going to notice that throughout that chapter, God is speaking past tense sometimes, future tense sometimes, but when he gets to this part about making all things new, he's speaking in present tense. In other words, right now, God is making all things new. It's not a matter of something he did a long time ago, and it's not a matter of something he's going to do in your future. It's a matter of right now, he is willing and able to make all things new. The other thing I want you to notice is that he doesn't say, "I am making you new, I'm making your spirit new, I'm making your soul new." No kind of spiritual tone to this. He says all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
When I say all things, I mean every aspect of my life. God has the ability to make all things new. He's got the ability to come into your life and my life and help reshape, reform our finances, our health, our relationships, our jobs. He can come in and reform and remake all things pertaining to your life brand new. And that's important for you to get because sometimes we compartmentalize God. And we say, God is just going to do something for my spiritual life. He's going to make me all new in my spiritual life, but I still got these terrible habits. I still got this bad, finances. I still got all this stuff going on, but spiritually, I'm all brand new. No. God wants to make all things new. So it's important for you to get. As a matter of fact, Jesus says it like this, with this conviction. They say this about Jesus in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In other words, whenever we come to Christ and we live for Christ, it's so strong, such a strong image that he presents here that everything in your past, all the old stuff that you've done, looks as though it's a dead person and you have been reformed, remade, brand new. Brand new. As a matter of fact, in most churches, they symbolize that with water baptism. We had a really cool water baptism day a few months back. It was kind of a spontaneous deal. We had three or four people that were wanting to get baptized, but then all of a sudden, as we're doing water baptism, like we had other people just jumping in the pool, right? Just going out there getting baptized. It was really cool, really awesome. And what they were saying was, my old life is gone, and now there's a new life. I bury the old man, and I come up a new man. With that being said, I want to just show you quickly. This has nothing to do with the message. I just saw this last night on YouTube, and I thought it was hilarious. So I want you to watch a couple of people getting baptized real quick. I think you're going to like that. The second thing God likes to do, and I think this is important for all of us to get, is God likes to turn ugly into elegant. Ugly into elegant. This is my favorite one, right? I hope God can take ugly and turn it into elegant. That's important to know. Here's a verse out of Jeremiah 18. Verse 3 says this, "So I went down," this is Jeremiah talking, God told him, "go to the potter." So I go down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled. Another version says marred. In other words, it's messed up. He made a mistake with it, or it had something in it. It was spoiled in the potter's hand. So he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Can I tell you something today? No matter what kind of mess you may have made of your life, no matter what kind of mess you may have made with your choices and your decisions and your past, God can take something that's marred and messed up and spoiled and make it into something brand new. Make it into something that's useful for Him. The key here is that the marred pot was in the potter's hands. We keep ourselves in the hands of the potter. We keep ourselves in the hands of somebody that can rework and retool our life. Somebody that can take something that's ugly and make it elegant, make it beautiful. Something that was broken and make it useful again. That's something God does. So He makes all things new. He takes the ugly, the marred, the messed up, and turns it into elegant. And then the third thing God does is sometimes He just does new things altogether. Sometimes He does something brand new altogether. In other words, we've talked about how He wants to make something brand new, something old, turn it new, something dead, make it alive. He wants to take something broken and make it beautiful. But now we're seeing that God also just does brand new things whenever He wants to. And it's up to us to take notice of the new thing God is doing and go with it. I want you to look at Isaiah 43, verse 19. It says, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." What God's saying here is He's saying, look, there are times when I'm going to take your old stuff and I'm going to make it new. There's times I'm going to take your old job and I'm going to make it new. I'm going to take your old financial situation and make it new. There's times I'm going to take your old health situation and make it new. But then there's other times when I'm just going to do something brand new that you've never seen before, and it's up to you to be willing to walk in it. It's up to you to perceive it, to notice it, to pay attention to it, and then walk in that thing. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the fact of, well, I've never done it like that before. I've never done this before. My mama didn't do it that way. And so therefore, I don't want to do that. But God opens up a new avenue for you. And you need to notice it and take the new avenue. With that being said, I want to tell you something, the new avenue in my life and in my family's life. Quite a few months back, probably beginning of the year, we noticed at the church, for whatever reason, although we had cut so many of our expenses down to the bare bones, we noticed that giving was down. Maybe it's the economy or maybe just lack of teaching, but our giving was down. And so I told the overseers and the trustees and the staff, I said, look, if things continue to be tight, not going under, don't get me wrong, but tight. You know how it is. There's times in your budget when it's tight. And what does tight mean? Tight means you can't do extra stuff, right? So instead of going out to eat every night, you have to cook your own food. Sometimes tight is good. It teaches you how to be with your money. But things were tight, and we noticed we needed some upgrades, some things we needed to do here at the church. And so when we noticed things were tight, I told them, I said, look, guys, I'm willing to take on another job if things get tight. And so I started preparing for another job. As a matter of fact, I wanted very badly to be to work in the area of personal fitness and help other people with personal fitness because it's kind of part of my heart, something I enjoy. And I thought I could make good money and my own hours. So I'm like, this is a good thing to do. And so with that in mind, I've been training and studying and getting ready for my test. And one Monday, I guess it was last Monday, I'm in prayer at the office or 2 Mondays ago, I'm in prayer at the office. And as I'm praying, I just said, God, what do you want me to pray about today? As a matter of fact, the Sunday before that, Someone had come with the word, and they said someone has a job situation they need prayer for. And I didn't even let anybody pray for me because I didn't think that was me. So that Monday, I'm praying, God, what do you want me to pray for? And I felt like God told me, pray for direction. Pray for direction that you'll know the will of God and be quick to run into it. And I said, okay. It was like this. It was as though God was saying, I'm going to do something new that you're not expecting, and I'm going to want you to go for it. And so I prayed that on Monday. I just prayed, God, give me direction. And then on Wednesday, I'm sitting in the office. I get a phone call from Perry's school. And the phone call says, it's Perry. And she said, hey, listen, I don't know if you're interested in this or not, but I was just in a faculty meeting, and the principal said, we lost our special education paraprofessional that helps out with special education kids. And he was a man, and they were saying they really need another man because so many of these kids don't have a male role model, and they really need another man to fill that position. And they said they would love to have somebody that can speak a little Spanish. And she said, while they were talking, I just raised my hand, and I said, my husband is both of those. He's a man, and he speaks Spanish. And the principal likes me for whatever reason, and so she says, call him and find out if he's interested. So she called me, and I said, I might be interested, I don't know. And so we prayed about it, and long story short, Thursday, I started my job at Shades Mountain Elementary School, being able to help with special education students on a daily basis. So it's a lot of fun. But here's the thing. It was a new thing that God put in my path that I didn't know was going to be there. I wasn't preparing for that at all. And now it's going to offer the church a chance to save some money every month because I can cut my salary back to what they're giving me over there. And so now we can not be tight, but have a little bit of, as the Cajuns say, lagniappe, right? Extra to do some stuff that we need to do around this place. But it was something that was brand new that I didn't expect. And I'm going to just tell you quickly about it because I think it's really cool. I get to work with kids. Some of my kids that I work with, I do one-on-one. Some of the kids I work with are autistic, and I get to work with them. I've got some kids that I work with that are adopted. They've come from terrible home lives. Some kids have seen things in their homes. They've seen men do things in their homes that would make most of us shudder. And so they need somebody to help them. And I'm so glad that God's going to allow me to do that. Now, with that being said, if you try and call the office and talk to me during the day, know this, I'm not ducking your calls. I'm also not there, okay? So don't call the office looking for me. But Beverly and Pastor Shane can take care of everything. I've got total faith in them. So be looking for the new thing. So God wants to make all things new. God wants to take your old, messed up, ugly stuff and make it beautiful. And then God sometimes wants to do brand new things. We just have to pay attention to them. I want to look back now at our young man that has gone off and squandered all of his wealth. I told you earlier we need a reset, and I want to get back to the reset. I've told you what God can do in your life, but there are some actions that you and I have to take in order to allow God to do that in our life. God's not going to just show up, right, and show up and grab somebody that doesn't want God to do something and do something in them. So he needs an open door. He needs somebody to give him access. And so here's a couple of ways that we give God access to our life to get that reset button happening. And the first thing I want you to look at is in Luke 15, verse 17. And I want you to look at this. The young boy, and just like us, we're just like him, we have to realize our need. Realize our need. Look at this. When he came to his senses, in other words, when he realized, what in the world am I doing, right? I'm in a pig field. And he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. If you continue to read, which we will in just a minute, you'll notice he over and over and over talks about his father. He doesn't talk about his hometown. He doesn't talk about his house. He doesn't talk about his brother or his friends. He says, I'm realizing my need for a father. He realizes that he has put himself in this place and he needs a father to get him out of it. I love the fact that you come to church here. I'm so thankful that you're a part of this family. But can I tell you something today? You don't need church as much as you need the Father. You don't need a new book as much as you need the Father. You don't need a good friend as much as you need the Father. What I said earlier during worship, when I talked about you need to know that God loves you, is simply this. You need to understand that there is a Father that loves you more than the people around you. And although it would hurt to have people around you not love you, it would hurt more not to have the Father's love. That's what you need. So recognize your need. Recognize what you actually need. Not what you want, what you need. The second thing that we see out of this young man is found in Luke 15, verses 12, and then again in 19. And that is this. We need to reset our desires. Reset our desires. Look at verse 12. This is before he leaves. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me. Everybody say, give me.
Give me.
My share of the estate. Give me. So the first thing he does is his desire is to receive something. But then look at verse 19. Now he's realized where he is. He's realized his need. And it says this, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me. Everybody say, make me. Like one of your hired servants. Here's the change in this young man. He went from saying, give me, to make me. He understood that value is not found in what you possess, but in who you are. He realized it's not a matter of what I can get from God. It's a matter of what God can make me to be. He said, I've been the marred pot and I'm ready to be made into something useful for God. I'm tired of being broken. I'm tired of having all this stuff, but not finding fulfillment. Something's got to change inside of me. Make me. There's some of you, your whole concept of God and my whole concept of God at times has been, what can I get from God? Well, God, if I just had this job, if I just had this amount of money, if I could just get this friend or just get this relationship in my life. God, if I could just have this many people show up. And it's all about what I can get from God instead of saying, God, can you just make me into something you can use? Can you just make me into something that's useful in your kingdom? Can you just take all the old, junky, burned up stuff in my life and just remake it and renew everything inside of me? Values in who you are, not in what you have.
Amen.
This third thing is this, and the last thing is that the young man had to repent. We talk about this word a lot, repent, and it's similar to the word recalculate. Now, we know recalculate, especially those of us that use GPS, right? You're using a GPS, you take a wrong turn. What does GPS say? Recalculating. It's going to find a way to get you back on the path you need to be on. That's what repentance is. Repentance says, I'm going the wrong direction. And I recalculate, I rethink the way that I should be going. I turn away from the way I was going and toward the direction I need to be going. I want you to look at this young man, verse 18. It says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I want to pause there for a second. I think this is important to note. Look at the difference in this young man now. He went from being spoiled. He went from somebody that's all about himself, selfish. Now all of a sudden he takes ownership for his problems. Notice he doesn't blame the pigs, right, for being hungry. He doesn't blame the father for spoiling him and giving him too much stuff. Believe it or not, I've heard people say that. My parents were just too loving. So dumb, right? He doesn't blame his friends for wasting his money or the prostitutes for taking his money. He doesn't blame anybody but himself. That's the first step of repentance, is own your mistakes. Own your own issue. So he says, I've sinned against you and against heaven. And then the second part of repentance is verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. There is some kind of action involved in this. When you repent, it's not just, oh, I'm just going to change the way I think. It's not just, I'm going to raise my hand in church and say a little prayer with the pastor. It's action involved. It is, okay, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm saying I want to change my direction. Now I'm going to actually do it. I'm going to get up and do something about it. I've said I'm not going to do that anymore. Now I'm going to get up and do something about it.
I want you to look at this last part real quick. Luke 15. I want to start at verse 20, and this is what God does. When we take action, God takes action. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son.
And he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Let me tell you something real quick. When you learn to take action, when you learn to repent and say, God, I'm giving you everything I've got. I'm so sorry. I repent. I change the way I think. I'm coming to you. And you run to God. The Bible says God runs to you. He doesn't sit back and wait for you to get there. He sees you from a long ways off. And he pursues you. The Bible says this, if you seek me, you will find me. God's not hidden somewhere. He's not somebody that's ambiguous and doesn't want to be found. He wants to be found. He wants to pursue you too. Then the son said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is what I love about God. Is God sees the fact that you need him. And although you show up all muddy and messed up, he doesn't care. He doesn't want you to be perfect when you come to him. He says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you new. I like the fact that this boy comes in, no shoes on, right? No shoes on, saying, I want to be a hired hand. You know what a hired hand was? A hired hand was less than a slave. A slave was actually considered part of the family. Because a slave didn't have a choice. A slave lived there, was a part. But a hired hand was somebody that they just said, hey, I'll give you $20 to show up tomorrow morning and do some work. And at any moment, they could kick him out. This boy was willing. He was humble. He was willing to do whatever it takes. And the father said, no, I'm going to renew and restore and reset your life. I'm not going to just make you a hired hand. I'm going to make you a son all over again. I'm going to make everything just like it used to be. And God wants to do that for you. There's different areas he wants to do it. For some of you, it may be a spiritual thing. But for others of you, it may be a financial issue. It may be a health issue. It may be a work issue. It may be a relationships issue. But God wants to come in and make all things new. The last thing I want to say is the Bible says this, Jesus speaking. He says, if you want to get to the Father, there's only one way to do it. And that's through me. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He even calls himself in one scripture, the gateway to the Father. He says, you want to get in? I'm the door. There's only one way to get to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to repent. There's only one way to get back and reset our life. And it all hinges on Jesus. And he loves you, and his desire is to renew you and restore you today. Why don't you bow your heads with me this morning?
Listening to the Gateway Family Church podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.